You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome to the Wizen World Cup Daily Podcast. New Zealand have effectively ended the semi-final race. Despite Kusel Pereira whacking the fastest 50 of the 2023 World Cup so far, the New Zealand attack reduced Sri Lanka to 113 for 8 before a gutsy last wicket stand took them up to 171, a target that the Black Caps top order made mince meat of. I'm Yaz Rana, and with me today is our resident New Zealand expert, Jim Wallace. Jim, that was a weird game, I thought. Sri Lanka, Pereira in particular, came out racing out the blocks, but found themselves five down on a pretty good pitch within the power play.
Yeah.
And from that point on, as admirable as the tail end resistant was, there was only going to be one winner.
It was a weird game. There was the sort of threat of weather hanging over it, which I think maybe was in people's minds, in New Zealand's minds, certainly when they came out to chase that. But yes, Sri Lanka got off to a flyer, and then you're sort of thinking, okay, well, this could be very interesting. And then they completely collapse. And then, as is the way with ODIs, there's about 25 overs of interminable sludge whilst someone knocks around 30 odd off 80 balls. And we're all sort of thinking, are we going to get this podcast recorded before I've got to get on the A3 and drive my daughter down the motorway? So, it all worked out in the end, but it was bit touch and go in places, and just a bit like this World Cup. It's just been a bit hard to get a grasp on, really. Like, should you be excited? Should you be confused? Should you be a little bit pondering, why do we even follow this ridiculous
sport? What do you feel right now?
A mixture of happiness and I don't know, sadness, I suppose, as per usual.
I felt a bit of sadness when I saw Kusel Pereira's shot at 70 for 4. In the 10th over, when you've just lost the fourth wicket in the previous over, you're going more than sevens.
Yeah.
Charging Lockie Ferguson, trying to hit a decent ball over extra cover for 6, basically.
Yeah.
What was he doing?
He's trying to do what Daryl Mitchell does, right? He does that, and just, you know, Ravindra was doing that. But I guess, yeah, it's like it was a proper brain fade moment and a moment that required calm heads and a bit of a rebuild. But I mean, I guess I do feel for these guys. They've been out there so long. They've been on the end of so much. You know, Sri Lanka, if you just think about some of the stuff they've been through in the past week with the whole timed out thing, and, you know, they're out of the tournament, and they've still got to play games. It's like, it's a ridiculous sport, really, that you can effectively crash out of a World Cup and then be forced to play maybe 4 or 5 more games, probably 3 or 4 in this case, where you pretty much know that the job in hand has all but disappeared. Obviously, they're playing for champion. Everyone keeps saying this, obviously, but, you know, no one had mentioned it until I heard you mention it a week ago, and now it's obviously everyone's playing for that. But,
yeah.
Wasn't a great shot.
No. With the result and the margin of victory, Afghanistan are basically out, and Pakistan to qualify need to beat England by something like 290 runs to overturn that net run rate deficit. And I know England have been bad,
yeah,
but I think that's unlikely. We'll get to the semi-finals in part two, but it also means that Sri Lanka are now in ninth. So talking of Champions Trophy qualification, they need England and or Bangladesh to get pumped in their final games. Bangladesh play Australia, England play Pakistan, for them to get into the top eight and qualify for the 2025 Champions Trophy, which I guess is a big deal, right? Sri Lanka got to the Asia Cup final 2 months ago,
yeah,
and they find themselves ninth in the table. I mean, they've had miserable luck with injuries. Yeah. Kusal Mendes, his tournament is quite interesting. In the first two games, he scored 198 runs.
He was incredible in those first two.
And he scored 96 runs in the following seven, which sort of sums up not only his tournament, but Sri Lanka's. It's just a very... There's a lot of talent in that team, but with the injuries in particular, they're just not consistent enough to challenge the top sides. Obviously, they beat England on that day, but England have not been a top side this tournament.
Yeah. And I think that comes down to the format. The ODI format is pretty unforgiving. So in a 2020, if you get into one of those bad positions, because everything's truncated, it's a lot shorter. And in a 50 over match, when you get into trouble, you can get into a lot of trouble and you can get behind. And you know, if you get on a bit of a losing streak, then it is trickier to come back to and fairly grueling. But they've got loads of talent and they've shown pockets of brilliance, but they haven't been able to get on a bit of a roll and stitch that together and put in. They took South Africa close right at the start, and start thinking, oh, maybe they're a pretty decent sort of outsider bet, but they've really trailed away. I know they've had a few injuries and stuff, but yeah, it was a bit of a shame.
Comparing them with Afghanistan are a side that their batting output, I think, is higher than the talent within that top six, top seven, which I think Sri Lanka's, they've had a few good days in defeat, actually.
Yeah.
But I think they probably underperform overall as a batting unit. They don't really stitch a complete inning together that often. And I wonder if they're not the only side, I've thought this about this tournament, but they almost hide behind the mantra of going hard sometimes, in that it almost means that players don't have as much responsibility as they ought to. Because as we saw with that Tikshana Madushankar 10th wicket partnership, it's actually quite hard to take wickets once the ball loses its hardness. Yeah. And, you know, occasionally in the second innings, the ball does a bit extra under light. But really, that was a good pitch. There was enough in it for the spinners to be interested. But in terms of the quicks, it actually sat up quite nicely against the bases.
The ball was coming onto the bat and you can certainly play your shots. What was the question? Can't remember what the question was.
I guess, do you think some teams in Sri Lanka, probably one of them, almost hide behind the mantra of going hard in a way that almost absolves them of some sort of individual responsibility?
I guess that probably is a thing. And again, coming back to the 50 over thing, is there is time to get out of these tricky situations as well. So Afghanistan against Australia the other day, I know Afghanistan didn't win in the end because of Maxwell's madness, but they weren't, you know, they were sort of struggling and their run rate was way down. I think after about 30 overs, they're only on about 120 odd, but they managed to get through that patch and then get to the end of the innings. Rashid Khan tees off a little bit and they get up to 270 odd, which is a challenging score. And then easily could have won that match. I think it is one of those things where, I mean, Peterson used to say it all the time, right? That's the way I play. And it's, I guess a little bit it's where do you draw the line between, okay, well, you want players to play with freedom and you don't want to throw blame around when they play a ridiculous shot or run each other out or whatever. So, because, you know, cricket has often been played in that quite cloistered way, which inhibits people from expressing themselves and actually playing those ridiculous innings. But then on the flip side, there has to be someone, if everyone, it's like that thing of like, oh, the next person will get the runs. Whereas if everyone has that mentality, then no one ends up getting them. So,
which is pretty much what happened today. A bit of history for Sri Lanka, by the way. That partnership between Madushankar and Tikshana was the longest ever 10th wicket partnership.
Felt long.
In a men's World Cup game at 87 balls. Tikshana's 38 of 91 was the third longest Sri Lanka innings of the tournament, which I think sums up their competition pretty well. Jim, Mitch Santner was absolutely delightful with the ball. He finished with Richie Beno's favourite figures, 10 overs, 2 maidens, 2 for 22.
Yeah. I like that.
He was brilliant. Love the speed he bowls with. He deceives players in the air. He gets great dip for a big man. You know, talk about great touch for a big man in football, but he's got great dip for a big man.
Yeah.
And Mike Atherton on commentary absolutely loved
He was loving him, wasn't he? And I think
you love everything that Atherton says, so.
I love Mitch Santner. I think he's, I don't know, because he's, I mean, he's a Kiwi and, it's almost a cliche to say, but he's an undemonstrative kind of guy, gets his wickets and there's no great, histrionics. Although today he looked quite pumped, I guess, because, there's a World Cup semi-final on the line. But, and because of, he's a left-arm fingerspin bowler, and he just looks like a nice guy. He looks like, he looks like you'd love your daughter to bring him home on a weekend for a Sunday roast sort of thing. He just looks lovely. And I think maybe some of that, sometimes people just see that nice guy and they don't see the skill that he has and the bowler that he's been, and certainly in this World Cup. His variations, I was saying this the other day, maybe on this pod, like he's really good at sneaking in and out of an over. Like Jadeja used to do, and still occasionally does. You get in and before you know it, there's like, five dots. How's it gone for two when they've tried to smash him every ball? He's got really subtle. I guess everything about him is subtle. He suffers from his subtlety, probably.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Everything is subtle about him. But yeah, he's had a fantastic tournament.
And also, I really like that on the pitches that have given him more turn, you can actually see that he's got so much more to his game as you sometimes otherwise see when pitches aren't that helpful towards him. Yeah. He might dart it in a little bit more.
Yeah.
But when there's turn and offer, he's very confident Absolutely. In really slowing it down and getting that turn.
He was getting some big turn. And I think that's what I really like about him. He gives sort of hope to anyone who's ever bowled a bit of left arm rubbish, left arm loopy stuff
yourself.
He gets it up there. He doesn't just fire it in and it's not just dart. There's lots of craft to go with it, and I think it's just nice to see him having a bit of a moment, really.
Yeah, and he's their leading wicket taker in the competition so far, and he's going at just over four and a half runs and over. I really enjoyed watching him bowl when he had a slip and a silly point in place. And he had Glenn Phillips under the lid on his knees.
Prowling around.
Which the commentators hated. Yeah. Dool and Gavaskar and commentary absolutely hated it.
Do they think that it's insulting or something? Or what?
No, I think because there was one that spooned just out of Phillips's grasp. And they were frustrated that given that he's on his knees, he can't really dive for those ones. But he's not really there for that. He's there for almost like the apologetic prod that just sort of... spits out and you have to be low to go get them. And you've seen it in county cricket, you see that position quite a lot. Trescothick
loves getting
knees towards the end of his career at Somerset. I think Craig Overton still does it.
Yeah. Trescothick always used to look like he was sort of weeding the begonias or something, didn't he? You know when you see like your nan or your mum wearing those knee pads in the garden. That's what Trescothick always meant. But Phillips did it in a slightly more sort of sinister way, I think, today. He was definitely having a few words, I reckon, up there and getting into the head. And again, that's part of it. Again, in a tight match, if you've got someone in your eye line putting you off and you know that if you do pop one up, then you're going to be gone, then it adds to a bit of drama. We needed a bit of drama, I think, today.
Two great moments in the game. One, the New Zealand burned review. So they'd just taken the eighth wicket and they got a bit greedy. And I can't
Great's
remember.
Great's doing a lot of heavy lifting here. Yes.
I think it was Chimera who basically middles a four defence.
Yeah.
And somehow two of the fielders, I think it's Mitchell and Phillips.
Mitchell, sorry.
Are absolutely adamant that it's only hit the pad.
Yeah.
And somehow no one talks them out of it. I can understand how if you're behind the bat, you could potentially, you might have had your view obscured. But that was a historical
And they did the slow-mo reaction of them reacting to it, and Williamson just turns away in disgust, basically, and Southey walks off laughing at them. They're just like, "What? That? I mean, that was a real shocker."
Mm. And then also the run out between Mitchell and Chapman, one of those where both of them end up at the same end. And this is particularly funny, I guess, because the game was 100% done at this point. Yet there was still tangible anger from Chapman as he walked off. Yeah. Actually, Chapman admirably fell on his sword.
He did.
And let Mitchell continue for a bit longer. But Chapman's the guy who's promoted up the order to get a bit of a hit because he's not really had much of a hit this tournament.
I think that's probably why he was quite so annoyed that it was unnecessary. Mitchell really wanted that run, and he was going to get it. But it's rare you see quite such a flagrant display of annoyance, really, with a run out. Often, you know, there's a bit of a head shake and they trundle off, but he definitely gave him the dismissive hand gesture, and then he was smashing his bat on the hoarding. Mm. So it's quite good to see, really. Gave us 2 more minutes of material as well.
Anyway, that's it for part one. In part two, we'll answer your questions, look forward to tomorrow's game, and start to think about the semi-finals.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Jamie asks, how much will Ratchin Ravindra's IPL contract be worth?
It's a lot, isn't it?
It's going to be a lot.
Butch said the other day, it's a shop window. If you do things in India that are special, and he's leading run scorer back to the top right now, and he plays some really eye-catching strokes. That lofted extra cover drive is really special, and the way he just looks so calm at the crease and measured. And I think it was again Athas saying on comms, you know, when you're in one of these golden periods, you really got to make it count. And it feels like he's in one of these, and he's definitely been the sort of standout young performer of the World Cup, should we say. Mine in the magazine was Harry Brook, and that hasn't quite happened. But
Still
one game to go. He could get a triple, maybe. But yeah, it's been amazing, and he'll go for you know, life changing sums of money, like mega books.
Yeah,
and all power to him, really, and really. So New Zealand have won 4, lost 4, and then won this one. He's been a constant all the way through. So have some of their other performers, like Santner. Mm. It looks like they're going to be playing India, barring a miracle, basically. Mm. And they need their players to stand up. And he's definitely one of them that they need. So he's their sort of informed man. So it'll be interesting to see if, you know, in packed house, World Cup semi-final, 23-year-old kid, all the eyes of the world on him, you know, against India. I mean, you talk about his price tag now. If he does something in that match, then we're talking astronomical, eye-watering sums. So, yeah.
I was thinking it'd be great to have him in the county championship. But then I had a look. He played one game for Durham in 2022, and he scored 217 and 46 not out, opening the batting. We didn't know how good we had it, having a 22-year-old Ratchin Ravindra play one game in the county championship. I asked one of the guys at Quickbiz, I was basically asking, does Ravindra have the highest ever county championship batting average with a cutoff of 2 innings? Because he averages 263. So there can't be many people above him.
Yeah.
Adam asks, do you like that net run rate decides semi-finals when teams are on the same points?
No.
What would you like to have instead?
I don't really like net run rate I think net run rate, I know there was a lot of talk about it earlier in the competition. I think it does lead to a lot of interminable overs in a match where I remember doing a game. It was the Australia game. I can't remember. Australia, South Africa. And I think I talked about it before. I think I'm scarred by it. Watching Labuschagne bat for 30 overs and just getting 2 or 3 off an over. I mean, that's a really poor advert for the game. And if someone turns on and is like, oh, there's a World Cup on, I'll give this a whirl. Watching someone batting out for net run rate or a team playing for net run rate for later down the line is a bit of a turn off, basically. And so what would I have? I would have that if it comes down to two sides, it comes down to a straight. If I beat you, then I go through. If you beat me in the group stages, then you go through. If it's a three-way tie, that's where it gets a little bit more tricky. And I wonder, you know, obviously don't want to do a boundary count back. Maybe that's when you can start. So that's not the main priority that teams and players are thinking about from the get-go. I almost think, I know I sort of maybe said tongue-in-cheek earlier, like, why don't they have another game? I mean, that's not, I was thinking when I was making a coffee, like, that's not that mental a suggestion, really. It is a World Cup. It has been going on for 2 months almost. It wouldn't be so crazy to just build in a day of, okay, well, if this goes down to the wire, it's probably completely unfeasible. Who knows? Like, I've never planned a global tournament.
It looks like some of the people planning this one haven't either. But barring a miracle on Saturday, we now know our semi-final lineups: India versus New Zealand in Mumbai on Wednesday, Australia versus South Africa in Kolkata on Thursday. Jim, we remember tournaments disproportionately by what happens in the final week. In 2019, India were the team of the tournament. They're the only team to lose just one game in the group stage. Overall, they were the only team to lose fewer than 3 games.
Yeah.
New Zealand, we remember them as the side that tied the final, but they only just snuck into the final four. They were lucky that their game against India was rained off. They finished ahead of Pakistan only on net run rate, and Pakistan had a game against Sri Lanka rained off.
Yeah.
And New Zealand only just beat West Indies and Bangladesh, to the side that finished towards the bottom of the table. And then in that 2-day one-dayer at Old Trafford on a sticky pitch, New Zealand get to par, take early wickets, and then suddenly they're in the final. Now, I know India have been at an even higher level this tournament. They're unbeaten at the moment.
Yeah.
Can you see history repeating itself?
I mean, it's hard because India looks so good. And I was going to say, actually, New Zealand looked really good. And if they'd have chased that down with Conway and not losing any wickets, then, you know, that gives them an extra. They had a bit of a stutter there, so they don't take that on. I mean, they did do it in 2019, and no one really gave them a chance. We mentioned it earlier in the office. I think it was Phil or someone scoffed and was like, nah, it's not going to happen. But I do think that if anyone can beat anyone in a World Cup semi, and India will start to feel the pressure if they haven't already, you know, it's a semi-final, it's their own country. Everyone's saying that they've basically got half a name on the trophy already. I can see it. I mean, why not? I mean, that's why we're all watching, right? So if New Zealand bat first and they make 300, 350 and then put the squeeze on, then absolutely, yeah, there could be a big upset.
Well, yeah, well, I was looking at the games that have been held at the Wankhede earlier on in the tournament, and the scores batting first have been 399, yeah, 382, 357 and 291. That 291 was Afghanistan's score against Australia the other day. And comparing New Zealand in 2019 to 2023, I think New Zealand have a stronger batting lineup this time round. I know they lost those 4 games in a row.
Yeah.
But in their last 2 defeats against Pakistan and Australia, they did score 800 runs across those 2 games, yeah, right? It wasn't as if they were complete maulings. They're still going all right as a batting unit. And I know they lost wickets today, but that was because they were really attacking that net run rate.
I think it's their bowling that has slightly tailed away.
Bolt's not been
he was
good today.
Yeah.
And Simon Dill was saying that he looked to be running in quicker than he had been early in the tournament. But Southee actually had a pretty poor day today, even
Southee
in victory.
Bit of tap.
Ferguson's had a quiet-ish tournament.
Yeah.
And they've lost Matt Henry.
Lost Matt Henry.
And Carl Javis has had a quiet few months coming up to the tournament. He's the guy who's coming to the squad.
Yeah. So they'll need everything to go in there. They'll need their Bolt, you know, they'll need Bolt to take wickets up top, you know, probably do a number on Rohit before he gets going. The India haven't really been taken down to the wire, right? So there is that. If it gets down to squeaky derriere time and it's in front of all their home fans and you know it and it starts to look a bit like they might slip up, then that'll be huge. But I mean, New Zealand have been there. They've been in the last 2 finals. The last final was incredibly close. The one before that, they sort of faded away, but so they know how to get to they know how to win these games. They've got experience. A lot of those players have been through this process before, and the ones that haven't, your Rachin Ravindras, look like, you know, nothing is phasing them. So I mean, but we all know where my cards are. I'd love to see it, but I mean, I'd love to see India win it as well. So it feels like this past week it's like it's all getting a lot more exciting. And we've not even talked about South Africa, Australia either, which is looking like the other semi.
Yeah, and I also think with the injury to Hardik Pandya, that India side is vulnerable to just a few strange things happening on a day. They have fewer bases covered, right? Surya Kumar Yadav at 6, he's such a good player, so destructive. But I mean, Kohli was weirdly criticised in some quarters when he got that 100 the other day for potentially going too slowly. But actually, with their lineup, with Sky at six and a number 11, basically, whoever it is at number eight,
yeah,
they can't go that hard in the middle overs. And it's actually, to his credit, to Rahul's credit, to Ayer's credit, that those three have been able to score consistently in the middle overs with low risk, with Sharma going at a million miles per hour against the newborn. Gill's actually had a relatively quiet tournament as well. Yeah. So there's a lot resting on not many players. So if they do get New Zealand get a couple of early wickets, that's a very, very different game to perhaps what we've seen. I mean, they only got 230 odd against England, right? And England have totally stunk the place out with the bat. That could have been a game.
I know
India bowled brilliantly that day, but if an opposition side in better nick than England got through that new ball spell from Bumrah and Shami, they probably win that game. So India have been brilliant by a mile, the team in the tournament, but you can still see how they
Absolutely.
Can be attacked.
And again, I think this is where the toss and who bats first comes into it, because if New Zealand get runs on the board and they go into that second innings and India that ramps up the pressure and Bolt actually does come to the party, if he gets so Rohit and Virat, obviously they're both in form, they're both world beaters. If they go for not very many and throw in maybe KL into that, KL Rahul into that as well, then all of a sudden you're asking for players who haven't done it in this World Cup quite to get you over the line, to get you into a home World Cup final with scoreboard pressure, with you know, the hopes of a nation and all the cricketing world on you.
1.3 billion people.
Yeah. So you can definitely see it. I mean, I would probably have it at least, I'd have it 80-20 in India's favour, but that 20% is what makes it really interesting.
And tomorrow we've got South Africa, Afghanistan. This could have been a huge game had the result today gone differently. But Jim, I guess it's interesting, and to South Africa's credit, that here we are with a game to spare. They're already in the semi-finals. They're already in the game between the second team and the third team. They've had a brilliant tournament.
Again, it's you wouldn't have necessarily predicted these things, you know, 6 months ago with the state of South
Africa.
None
of us did.
Definitely didn't. Harry Brook, player of the tournament. You know, with the whole turmoil that's going on in South African cricket, and then you know, all that sort of stuff, for them to perform as they have done has been really impressive. And their batting is just, I really like that they've got their batters and they've got their bowlers. The batters do the business and the bowlers do the business. It's sort of like uncomplicated cricket.
Yeah.
And all the while de Kock is at the top of the order, looking like, you know, a sad-eyed bush baby, looking like he'd rather be anywhere else, fishing somewhere, you know, but he's like absolutely smashing it too and plundering loads of runs. And I think on that one, actually, on the flip side, we were chatting just before the pod. I think Australia are held together a little bit with sticking plaster, and they don't fully know their best team and their best approach. Whereas it seems like South Africa do have that clarity of purpose. And I actually think, you know, 99 and all that stuff is gonna be consigned to the history books, because I actually think South Africa will win that one.
So we're looking at a New Zealand South Africa final, are we?
Oh, I mean, I imagine
that would be absolutely amazing.
That would be great, and that would be when cricket throws up some shocks. And I think the thing with this World Cup is that all the shocks have been sort of back-ended. It's all been very sort of plodding. Obviously, there was a, you don't want to call less big nations beating, that, like, they're not necessarily shocks, but it feels like in this past week it's been
like a proper World Cup.
Yeah, there's a bit of frisson in the air rather than, all right, here's another game. It's been the World Cup of permutations, I think.
Yes.
So many permutations that it's almost like there's always something going. It's like when you try and watch TV but you're online at the same time. You never really, you know, you're not doing justice to your online shopping, and you're not doing justice to Taggart or Morse or whatever you're watching. It's been a little bit like that, but now it feels like the cricket is actually doing especially when you get to the semi-finals, all that nonsense goes out the court or out the window. It's who beats who plays best, who stands up, who's going to sort of play one of those World Cup defining innings. It's exciting. I'm more happy than sad.
Excellent. That's a good place to finish. Cheers, Jim, not just for today, but all our chats across the tournament. And thanks for joining us, listeners. And please do join us for the final group stage games. There might not be that much to play for on the pitch, but we'll have some fun, I'm sure.
Sports Social Podcast Network.